Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts, was founded in 1978 to create a theater of unprecedented excellence in performing, training, and education.
That's right, Joe. This season, Shakespeare and Company has presented productions of the Bard's Macbeth, Love's Labor Lost, and As You Like It, the last of which runs through September 2nd.
Terrence McNally's Mothers and Sons began performances last night. It opens officially on Sunday. And Shakespeare and Company's production of Simon Stevens' Heisenberg opens tonight. Even with all of that going on, they've taken the time to visit with us.
Yep, we're joined by founding artistic director Tina Packer, artistic director Alan Burroughs, and director of Mothers and Sons, James Warwick. Thanks all for being here.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah.
It is a delight to have you all here. We always appreciate it. I know you were here at the beginning on the show at the beginning of the season talking about all of this, and now it's here. So, Alan, how are things going?
We're having a great summer. We're just busting out all over. We just closed our production of Macbeth on the main stage, and so now I can safely say that the rest of the summer is about love.
You got rid of the other stuff.
Yeah. And truly, that I mean, really, every production going forward begs the question of whether love can conquer hate. And I think we can soundly say in the final analysis that
no.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
No, yeah. Yeah.
So Alan, what do you really, really, I mean, the inside story, what do you really think of Macbeth? I don't mean the play. I mean the person.
Oh, I think he's misguided. You know, he dies in the end anyway. He kind of gets his due, doesn't he? Yeah.
After he's killed everybody.
How do you feel about that, Tina?
Well, I think he's a raging, psychopathic, poetic soul. But, you know, he creates absolute... I mean, he kills everybody. He's a tyrant, you know. He's one of those rulers that decimates his own country and decimates everybody else's country around them, of which we have several examples right now in the world going on. I think yes.
So, Tina, how did the Bard get to know these guys the way that he did? What if it turns out that really they weren't such bad guys, but you know, Henry and Macbeth and the rest, and he's really put them down in history as some of the worst people ever.
Well, well, that's just bum luck, then, isn't it?
I think we call it bad press.
No, I think, Alan, he was a person like you. He really wanted to examine.
Wait, what did you say?
I said he was
she was talking
not the psychopath part, other than that.
Yeah, no, she was talking to this Alan.
That he really wanted to examine.
Thanks for being here for your final performance.
I'm saying something serious.
Okay, go ahead.
He really wants to examine what the psyche is like of somebody who starts out as a good man, or at least an honorable man, and how that can devolve into somebody who can't stop killing and can't stop going for whatever the PowerPoint is, and in the end knows it and says, I'm in blood so far, you know, I'm going to keep on
going. So you made the reference, obviously, to Donald Trump, right?
I don't think that tells the whole story, actually. I think, you know, Donald Trump is going to be a speed bump on the road of the Macbeths of history. I think...
We don't know yet.
Well, we at this point in the final analysis, you have to examine whether paranoia is actually hardwired in the human brain. And I think I read an article in the Times the other day that said, really, when you play on people's sense of paranoia, that's really a tool that you can use. And that's what happens to Macbeth. Basically, he becomes bested by his paranoia.
So let's talk about these two amazing shows.
Yeah,
that
show's closed. Why are we talking
about Macbeth? We'll talk about Heisenberg. We'll talk about Mothers and Sons. We have the two directors here, for goodness sakes. They're both amazing shows. I've seen these plays. They're beautiful, incredible. So let us begin with Mothers and Sons. Terrence McNally's work is incredible. James, you're directing this. Tell us a little bit about this particular show.
Mothers and Sons, strangely enough, is about a mother and her son. the larger theme, I think, is, as Alan says, we're moving into love. But before we can get to love, we have to accept change. And we start with a fearful person, the mother, searching for her life that has already passed with her son. And it's a play about the way that we have to accept change, whether we want to do it immediately in a great rush or slowly and fearfully and reluctantly. Sooner or later, I think we all have to accept change. Mm. We know what the ultimate change is. By the end of the play, I think there is a redemption that she does find in an unexpected source, the love that she's seeking. That's what the play's about.
And the Annette Miller is playing the mother.
She certainly is.
And an amazing performance there.
Yep.
When you look at this show, though, I've seen it and I've read it. My God, Terrence McNally is a beautiful playwright.
Yes, he is. Yes, he's examined a place in our history which I think already, as he writes about in the play, it started to sort of fade into history. It's about a time when people were dying, young men were dying in every major city in the world, some secretively, most in shame, a lot in enormous pain, so even agony.
So how would you compare McNally to Shakespeare? Which of them was better?
Well, let's put it this way. They both tackle huge themes. Huge themes, and what they're both great about, let's not go back to the Scottish play, but what they're both great about is writing extremely complex characters in order to bring up a series of issues that in an ordinary life we don't usually have to face. But he examines the psychosis, he examines the sociopathy, he examines the...
Sociopathy.
I'm waiting for the next one to be even bigger than that.
$12 for that word.
No, I'm not going to even go there.
Okay.
I'm being led on to examine my vocabulary. They examine big themes. That's what I'm trying to say. And they create this extraordinary characters which we recognize in extraordinary circumstances.
But everybody writes about mothers and sons. I mean, Freud certainly did a little work on that and the rest of it. So,
well, he got discredited a bit. I think there have been sort of
movements. What James has done so brilliantly with this play is that he has made this language, which is very dense, and these relationships very acute, he's made them very accessible. And in that small theater, you really feel... a very strong resonance and an identification with these characters.
Because you may not like what the mother is saying or doing, but you understand where she's coming from, and there is an empathy for that character, even though what she's saying and doing, the actions may be less than all.
Well, they're reprehensible in many ways. Yes. You know, she condemns a whole generation of younger people because she doesn't understand it, she doesn't condone it, and she doesn't have to agree with it. So she stands off. She's like on this pinnacle of self-justification.
And it's a child, ultimately, that helps open the door.
It is, from a most unexpected source. And the voice of innocence brings us very quickly, swiftly at the end, into some form of redemption and hope for the future.
Heisenberg is the other show that's running through September 2nd in the Tina Packer Playhouse. So what better person to direct it than Tina Packer? This also, it's two actors on the stage, and it's a gorgeous piece of work. There's a lot there, a young woman, an older man, and they're both looking for companionship, trying to figure it out, right?
Well, I suppose you could say it like that. I mean, I think it's the journey itself between the two. I mean, he is 75 and has repressed his emotions forever. I mean, since his sister died when he was 6 or something, a kid. And so then he became a soldier, a British soldier. He went to Suez. He repressed all that. He had a fiance. She left him. He has repressed everything in his life. And he gets picked up by a young woman who, it turns out, she's looking for something. And he happens to fit the bill. And yet, even though maybe they began off with her exploiting him, they end up really with him grounding her because she's, I was going to say, because, of course, she's from New Jersey.
There you go. That's well always said, a good way to do
well,
it.
Well said. But Tina, you know, my incredible respect for you. And my question then is, here you are directing two people.
Yes.
Two people.
Yes.
Now, I can understand you have six people on the stage. You say, you stand here, you go there, you know, use your hands this way or that way. But how different is it when it's only two people?
Well, it's very different because they're two people, and they're not only just two people, they're two people who know what they're doing. So I don't really have to tell them to stand here or do that. So what we've been doing is a deep, very, very deep listening to what the text has to say. So it's a deep listening, this play.
So give us an example.
Let me just think. She's asking him what he does all the time or what his life is about. Now, she can either be asking him because she wants to exploit it, or she can be asking him because, in fact, on some level, she knows that she's deeply interested in what he's doing.
And they have to play those nuances.
They have to play. So it's all to do with nuance.
So do you ever turn around and say, no, you're doing it all wrong?
No. The three of us do a collective listening. What's this about? Where does this link to in the past?
Yes, but who's the head collective listener?
I'm a female, Alan, and I do collaborative learning. I am somebody who believes in leadership through collaboration. And so I wouldn't dream of telling them, do this, unless I think, can you try that, I might say.
Oh, I see.
But I don't give orders. I actually listen to what people have to say, and I think I am a leader, but it's a different kind of leadership.
Now, when I saw this on Broadway, it was stage as such as there were people on stage. Are you doing that too?
Yeah, they're on stage all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, even when they're doing the scene
changes. But they had the audience on stage too. They sort of had an in the round thing. Are you doing that? Or?
No. Our theaters really, they're pretty close anyway.
Yeah. Sure.
But the actors never get off stage. They do all their clothes changing on stage. They do everything. So you're very aware of the Heisenberg principle. If you study something closely enough, you cannot tell where it's going. So it really is about the audience studying the actors studying each other. It's about, can you actually tell where something's going? And the other thing, you know, he says it's not the notes of the music that's important, it's the spaces between the notes. And so what's that about?
We're out of time, but thank you very much. Shakespeare.org to find out more. Shakespeare.org. Thank you all. Appreciate it. We'll be back.